Narayanam namaskritya Narancaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam mudirayet Nasta prayeshva badresho Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttamashloke Bhaktir bhavati naistike Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, Text Number 20. Daitya Namna Trinavarta Kamsabritya Pranodita Chakravarta Svarupena Jahara Asinam Arbakam Daityo namna trinavarta Kamsa vritya pranodita Chakravata svarupena Jaharasinam arbakam Daityo namna trinavarta Kamsa vritya pranodita Chakravata svarupena Jaharasinam arbakam Daityo namna trinavarta Kamsa vritya pranodita Chakravata svarupena Jaharasinam arbakam Daityunam natrinavarta Kamsavritya pranodita Chakravata svarupena Jaharasinam arbakam Daityunam natrinavarta Kamsavritya pranodita Chakravata svanupena Jaharasinam arbakam Daitya another demon Namna by the name Trinavarta Trinavarta Sura Kamsa Britya a servant of Kamsa Pranodita Having been induced by him. Chakravata Svarupena in the form of a whirlwind. Jahara swept away. Asinam the sitting. Arbakam child. Translation. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Krishna or Kamsas, came there as a whirlwind, a Kamsas instigation, and very easily carried the child away into the air. Please repeat. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsas, came there as a whirlwind, a Kamsas instigation, and very easily carried the child away into the air. Into the air. The following purport was written by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna's heaviness was unbearable for the child's mother. But when Trinavartasura came, he immediately carried the child away. This was another demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable energy. When the Trinavarta demon came, Krishna became lighter than a grass, so that the demon could carry him away. This was Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Krishna's blissful transcendental pleasure. Srila Prabhupada's purport here is very short. What should we do? Should we go on and read the other verse or not? Should I just tell the story? Okay, text 21. I see. Okay, so we read until the 25th. Okay. Gokulam sarvam avrinvan moshnam chak kshonsirenubir iraya sumahagora shabdena pradishodisha. Covering the whole land of Gokula with particles of dust. That demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision. It began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Trinavartasura assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Gokula, so that no one could see even the nearest thing. Text 22. Muhurtam abhavat goshtam rajasa tamasavritam sutam yashodana pashyat tasmin yastavati yata. For a moment, the whole pasturing ground was overcast with dense darkness from the dust storm, and Mother Yashoda was unable to find her son where she had placed him. Text 23. Napashat kashanat manam paramcha pivimohita trinavarta nishrishta bhir sharkara bir upadruta. Because of the bits of sand thrown about by Trinavarta, people could not see themselves or anyone else, and thus they were illusioned and disturbed. Itikar, text 24. Itikara pavanam chakrapam chuvarse sudapadavim abala vilakshamatam atikaronam anusmarantyasochad bovipatitam mityavatsakayatagau. Because of the dust storm, stirred up by the strong whirlwind, Mother Yashoda could find no trace of her son, nor could she understand why. Thus, she fell down on the ground like a cow who has lost her calf and began to lament very pitifully. Text 25. Ruditam anu nisham yatatra gopyo brisham anutapta diyo shupurna mukya rurudur anupalabhyananda sunum pavanam uparatapam shuvarsha vege. When the force of the dust storm and the winds subsided, Yashoda's friends and the other gopis approached Mother Yashoda, hearing her pitiful crying. Not seeing Krishna present, they too felt very much aggrieved and joined Mother Yashoda in crying, their eyes full of tears. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This attachment of the gopis to Krishna is wonderful and transcendental. The center of all the activities of the gopis was Krishna. When Krishna was there, they were happy. And when Krishna was not there, they were unhappy. Thus, when Mother Yashoda was lamenting Krishna's absence, the other ladies also began to cry. Daityo namna trinavarta kamsa vritya pranodita chakravata svarupena jaharasina marbakam. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, was a servant of Kamsa's, came there as a whirlwind, at Kamsa's instigation, and very easily carried the child away into the air, covering the whole land of Gokula with particles of dust. That demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. For a moment, the whole pasturing ground was overcast with dense darkness from the dust storm, and Mother Yashoda was unable to find her son where she had placed him. Because of the bits of sand thrown about by Trinavarta, people could not see themselves or anyone else, and thus they were illusioned and disturbed. Because of the dust storm stirred up by the strong whirlwind, Mother Yashoda could find no trace of her son, nor could she understand why. Thus she fell down on the ground like a cow, who has lost her calf, and began to lament very pitifully. When the force of the dust storm and the winds subsided, Yashoda's friends, the other gopis, approached Mother Yashoda, hearing her pitiful crying. Not seeing Krishna present, they too felt very much aggrieved and joined Mother Yashoda in crying, their eyes full of tears. Om Magyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yanabhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavancha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padansa Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasa Di Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. After the incident of Putana, few months after, there was another accident in Gokula. As we know, all this has happened in Gokula, not in Vrindavan. Gokula is on the other side, on the eastern side of the Yamuna River. Today, we can still visit Gokula by crossing the Yamuna at Mathura, visit Gokula and Raval and many other wonderful places. On the eastern side of the Yamuna, there are places very, very peaceful. You can go in places like Brahmandagat, where Mother Yashoda saw the universal form of the Lord. And it's like an extremely beautiful place called Chintaharanagat. Who has been to Chintaharanagat? That's the most beautiful place. Chinta means anxiety. Harana means to deliver, like Hari, the one who frees, the one who delivers. And this place, many pastimes, Krishna made many pastimes in this place. It is right on the Yamuna river. You can see the Yamuna. And this place, it is said that whoever goes there has all his anxiety relieved. And actually it is. You go there, stay there, chant your rounds, and it's an unbelievable effect of transcendence. It's very peaceful because very few people go in these places. While in Vrindavan, it's full of people and Radhakund and everywhere. There are so many people and so many activities. In these places, Raval and Chintaharanagat, Brahmandagat, and all these places, very few people go. Of course, in Gokula, in Dauji, and other places on the eastern side of the Yamuna are full of people. There is some tension in the atmosphere. But in this place, very, very few people go. Raval, where Radharani appeared, there's nobody there. It's just a small temple with a deity of Srimati Radharani, and that's it. Very small temple. There is no house, there is even no huts. Nothing. So you had to know where is Raval to get there. It's right on the Yamuna River, but the street, the main street, going to Gokula, up to Dauji, it's a few kilometers away from Raval. So you had to know where to turn. And where you turn, then you are in the middle of nowhere. It's just fields. Then you drive a few kilometers, and then you arrived on the banks of the Yamuna, which is also a little far, maybe 500 meters from. And then there is this temple, and that's it. You climb on the roof of the Larililal temple, which is the name of Srimati Radharani, and then you see the Yamuna, exactly the point where Srimati Radharani has appeared. We all know that Srimati Radharani appeared on a big lotus, which was flowing on the Yamuna. And there where the Maharaj Vrishabhanu saw her and took her from the waters. And all these places can still be visited, and it's still visible, the place, of course, the house of Nanda Maharaj and the place where Putana was killed, and the place where the demon Trina Shakatasura was killed, and the place where Trinavarta landed by falling down from the sky. So after Putana was killed, a couple of months passed, maybe a little more than a couple of months, and the first Janmashtami, or the first birthday of Krishna, was celebrated by the coward men and everybody with great pomp. There was a lot of people, and there were a lot of brahmanas, and there was this ceremony, this Vedic ceremony, and everyone was enchanted by this Vedic ceremony. Today, even today, that there are actually no brahmanas qualified, the whole atmosphere is not just conducive to be a real Vedic brahmana. So today there is not really anybody who is able to chant in the right way the Samaveda verses or the Rig Veda verses. Still, I've been participating to a few Vedic ceremonies, and you are just enchanted by the beauty of the sounds. They are so powerful, so unbelievable, pleasant to hear them. So you can imagine the brahmanas of Dwapara Yuga, when Krishna was present, they were very qualified, how attractive and pleasing there must be the sounds. So what happened is that Mother Yashoda was sat down and was hearing all these Vedic mantras being chanted by the brahmanas, and she put the baby Krishna on the ground. And because there were a strong sun rays, it was very hot. So Mother Yashoda put baby Krishna under a cart. So you see, if you have been to a ceremony, you know there is a lot of noise and conch shells and and chanting, so many people chanting. You have several places where Brahmanas were chanting, many people, there were a lot of noise. So baby Krishna woke up and started to cry. Crying is the only language babies know. They have to communicate. They don't know how to speak. So when they want something, they cry. And by the intensity of crying, you can understand how much they want something. So Krishna was very hungry, and he started to cry, but Mother Yashoda could not hear him because of the noise. So he started to be really angry, hungry and angry. So he started to, how you say when you move the legs?
Kicking.
He started to kick here and there, and he hit one wheel, and the cart collapsed. It was a big cart with a lot of things on the top. So everything came down. It was very dangerous because Krishna could have been crushed. But of course, Krishna, although in a baby body, he was still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he was unhurt. Nobody could see that actually this cart was a demon. It was a second demon after Putana trying to kill Krishna. So the first was Putana, and the second was Shakatasura, and it was a cart demon. So the coward man started to, what could happen? How could such a big cart, a strong, stout cart, just collapse? And the other children who were there said, oh, that happened because Krishna was kicking around. He hit the wheel, and the cart collapsed. And not very many believed the children, because how it is possible. So somebody would believe the boys and think that maybe Krishna, just like he could kill such a gigantic demon, maybe he was some kind of demigod, the incarnation, some kind of demigod, or maybe Narayana, or who knows. And Nanda Maharaj remembered the words of Vasudeva. We have studied in the previous chapter the meeting between Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. And Vasudeva told very intimate secrets to Nanda Maharaj regarding Sri Krishna. Nanda Maharaj had the perception that Krishna was not a common child, that he was someone very, very particular. So Nanda Maharaj started to meditate on Vasudeva's words. And in his heart and mind, he started to have the conviction that Krishna must have been someone very extraordinary. From the day of Krishna's first birthday and the killing of the second demon called Shakatasura, sometime after happened the third incident that regarded Trinavarta. That is the verse that we have been studying, the verses that we have been studying today. The incident was that started with Mother Yashoda keeping her child on her lap, and Krishna became so heavy. It was like having a mountain on her lap. Actually, the Bhagavatam say like the whole universe was on her lap. And actually, just maybe the same day or the day before, Mother Yashoda gave her breast to Krishna like she did every day. And while she was cleaning his lips, she opened the lips of baby Krishna, and the mouth opened a little bit, and Mother Yashoda could see the whole universe into the mouth of her son. So we don't know, since Mother Yashoda had this vision a few times. We don't know exactly where this happened and if this was the incident that this was told in the Srimad Bhagavatam and happened in Brahmandagat. Brahmandagat is the place that I was mentioning before. A beautiful, beautiful place. You get to see it. It's like the Yamuna in that place. It's like it's very large. And it does, it's not like a river, but it does like this in zigzag. And it's extremely beautiful to take bath. And people there do not bother, do not disturb very much like in other places. They are very polite. And they offer you seeds to throw to the fishes. There are a lot of fishes, big, like this. It's incredible. You buy some of this and you throw it to the fishes and you meditate. Also, there are very few monkeys, so you can sit down and meditate and chant and read. Like somebody, you got to go there. So, a couple days after, Krishna assumed this feature of being so unbearable, heavy. And Mother Yashoda could not explain the heaviness of her son. Anyway, she just put it on the floor. And after some time, she started to do her own home things and cleaning and cooking and doing other things. And then, at that time, the third demon sent by Kamsa. Kamsa had become suspicious because two of his friends already died in Gokula. And he could not explain. He could not explain how two powerful friends of his had died in that place. So he began to think that maybe his enemy, maybe the person whom Yogamaya told him that he would have killed him, maybe he is in Gokula. So he sent the third, very powerful demon whose name was Trinavarta. Trinavarta was a mystic yogi and had the power to control the nature. It's one of the siddhis that you can get with yoga, becoming very heavy, becoming very light, and also control the, natural phenomenon. So he became a whirlwind, very huge, like you have here in Texas sometimes. Very, very big. Tornado. He was a tornado, actually. So he had the power to suck up things. So, and this is something that Srila Prabhupada noted in his verses, and he made this reflection. He said, how come Mother Yashoda felt her baby so heavy that she could not keep it on the lap, that it was like the mountain of the whole universe. It was so heavy. And Trinavarta could suck up the baby with such easiness and facility. And this looks like, the word doesn't come out to my mind, help me, contradictory. It seems like contradicting. Srila Prabhupada noted this contradiction. And after, Srila Prabhupada explains it and says, Krishna is Yogeshwara, is the Lord of all mystic powers. So he could become very heavy because he wanted to protect his mother from the demon. He knew that the demon was coming, so he wanted to protect his mother. He became very heavy so the mother would separate from him because he knew that Trinavarta was coming to for him. So he separated from his mother, and then because he wanted to be sucked up by this demon, he became very light. So Trinavarta thought, oh, this is very easy. It's not, this is just a child, very, very light. He sucked him up in the air. He brought him away. And then when Trinavarta felt very secure and very high in the sky, Krishna embraced him by the neck like this and again became very, very heavy, so heavy he could not tolerate, he could not bear to be. and he could not fly anymore. He fell down on the floor, and he crushed his limbs, and he died. Upon death, demons cannot keep. They cannot continue exercising their powers after death. So then he took his original form of a demon. And so everyone could see that that he was a demon. And after Putana, then we have Shakatasura, and then we have Trinavarta. And these are the three main demons that he was killed by Krishna in Gokula. After that, the cowherd decided to leave Gokula because they thought that this place is not safe anymore. So they decided to move. They packed everything up, they moved, they crossed the Yamuna, and they arrived in Vrindavan. And we know the story. At that time, there was no city, there was no town in Vrindavan. It was just a forest. That's a Vrindavana. Vana means forest. It was this very beautiful forest. And so they crossed the Vrindavan forest, and then they decided to stop for some time. They sent the workers to build up the definitive towns. We told the story for you. 1 month ago, maybe. And they sent people in various places to find the right places. And because they were afraid by the demons, because the demons did not only try to kill Krishna. Something happened with Srimati Radharani and a few baby children. But they were not killed. Putana also kidnapped Srimati Radharani, for instance, kidnapped Lalita, kidnapped many other children, but they were not killed because the prophecy regarded a male child, so they were spared. So it was a long story how Srimati Radharani was kidnapped by Putana, etc. We may tell the story another time. So they crossed the Yamuna River, they crossed the Vrindavan forest, they stopped in places that we know today, they are still existing. Maharaj Vrishabhanu set up his temporary town in Ral Attuvashanti, these places are still there, you can go and see. And in Chatikara, which is where it is the highway, the Delhi Agra railway, you turn left, and then you go to Vrindavan. There are 6 kilometers from the highway to Vrindavan. On the right side, you see there is a town. That town is Chatikara. That is the place where Nanda Maharaj stayed for some time before the definitive towns were built up, and because they were afraid of demons, they looked for very safe places. That's why both Varshana and Nandagram, they are on the top of hills, and because they were afraid by demons, so maybe there was some war is coming, somebody's going to. They were looking for places which could have been easy to defend. That's how they built up Nandagram and Varshana. They're the towns, they are on the plain. You know, there are many towns around Varshana and Nandagram where the gopis and gopas lived. But the places where Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna grew up, they were in the top of the hills. So all these activities by Krishna, they are transcendental by nature. So what is the proof? Shukadeva Goswami, the Srimad Bhagavatam, gives the reason, gives the proof. There are many proofs we can give. But the main one is contained in the verse, the famous verse, Atma Ramas Jamuna Yo Nirgranta Piyurukrame. And Shukadeva Goswami says, if someone is Atmarama means totally satisfied within himself. He doesn't need anything external. He finds everything he needs inside. In the external, it may be that you can use things, the body, even the physical body is external. So, but facilities or no facilities, an Atmarama can be totally satisfied. He may be put in the most beautiful place or the most ugly place, and he is satisfied. He may live in very opulent places, or without facilities, he will be satisfied. He doesn't need anything. Everything is internal. So just try to how beautiful life is, a life where you don't need anything, just nothing. You already have everything. No anxiety, no problem. You already got everything. This type of person is called Atmarama. No. At means inside, and Rama means satisfied. Satisfied at, inside. Atmaramas chamuna yo, nirgrantap, yuruk rame. Even this type of persons, says Shukadeva Goswami, they relish, they love to talk about the transcendental activities of Lord Sri Krishna. Even Atmaramas. And he says, how come Atmaramas like to talk about Krishna? And they do it with such a pleasure. But we already said that they are already satisfied inside. And they don't need anything. So why they are looking for happiness by talking about Krishna's activities? So the reason that Shukadeva Goswami is giving is that the internal happiness that Atmaramas experience is of transcendental nature, is spiritual. And Krishna's activities are also transcendental, the same quality. And that's why the Atmaramas, they like to talk about Krishna's activities, because they are totally compatible between the internal quality in which they live, in which they find everything, and Krishna's activities. So there is a natural link-up between the internal and the external. It actually is nothing external, because it is transcendental just like the internal. And in the other verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna accept the point and reiterate the concept by saying janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyatva deham punar janma naiti mam iti sorjuna. This verse contains all our philosophy. If we really sit down with a mind and we analyze word by word this verse, we can find the whole of our philosophy. First of all, it says with the word divyam that Krishna and Krishna's activities are transcendental. The same concept that Shukadeva Goswami expound in the Bhagavad, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is repeated again by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Divyam, I am a transcendental personality. And because I am transcendental, there is nothing contrary to transcendence that I can do. So my janma, my birth, and my karma, everything I do, are also divyam, cannot be anything different. Just like a materialistic person cannot do anything transcendental because they are materialistic. They cannot do something that is so unnatural for them. Just like we cannot fly, and there is no way because we are men, we are not birds. And we cannot live in the depth of the ocean because we are not fishes. only fish can live, and at the contrary, on the other hand, fishes cannot come on the land and live like men because they are fishes. So materialistic person can act only in a material way, and Krishna, because he is transcendental, can act only transcendentally. And everything he does is transcendental. There is nothing that is material. Even something like questionable from a material point of view, like associating with women who are not his wife on the dead of night, that must be transcendental because he is transcendental. Once we establish the transcendental position of the Supreme Personality of God, everything becomes explained. And there is no doubt in that. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Jalma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata. And he says, you must know this truth. And then in the second part, we know that the verses as we study them, they are in four lines, but the Sanskrit verses are only two. So in the first part of the first line of the verse, Sri Krishna says that everything I am transcendental, so everything I do is transcendental. In the second part, he says, you must understand this truth, otherwise you are confused. You don't get the thing right. So you, tatvata, tatva means true, truth. You must know this truth. And once you know this truth, by studying and by practicing of the study, then tyaktva means to give up. Tyaktva deham means when you give up your body. Deha means the body. When you give up your body, tyaktva deham, again, janma, take your birth, na iti, means na iti, the two words put together by the Sandhi Sanskrit rules. Then, punar janma, na, never, you take birth again. So why the knowing or the transcendental activities of the Lord will cause us never to take birth again in this world, because they are transcendental. And once we associate with transcendental natures, then we get purified. And once purified, we have no reason. We are not desire. And since we don't desire, don't come again in this world, because what it causes us to take birth again is the desire. We want to be in this world, because if we didn't, then we won't come. It's only our desire. It's not that we are here because God is bad. He wants us here. Nobody wants us here. We are the only ones who want to be here. Once we give up the desire of enjoying separately from Krishna, then immediately we go back, because he's waiting only for that. Krishna is waiting only for our intense desire to have him. And once he sees desire, that's finished. Now, iti mam, mam means my. Naiti mam iti. Iti means this transcendental world. And then, punarjanma na, we never take birth again in this material world, and we attain the supreme abode. This verse of the Bhagavad Gita is a monument of our philosophy. We should use it. It's a classic. And once we learn word by word and all the import, sutra, you all know what means sutra. Sutra means thread. Just like this kurta is made of threads. If you take the thread in the right place and you pull it, then you pull and pull and pull, the whole kurta comes. And it starts just from a little point of thread. So someone like Shukadeva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, all the great personality who know perfectly this philosophy, they can pull the whole philosophy, doesn't matter at what point they take it. Doesn't matter, even a single word. A great intellectual, a great professor in Vedic science, from one word, he can pull the whole Vedic and Vaishnava philosophy with it. So in every verse of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a lot of wisdom. I found, in reference to what we are studying in the Bhagavatam, which is the activity of Sri Krishna, this verse of the Bhagavad Gita particularly significant. There is a lot of things to say more if you have any question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you again for speaking today. My question, you touched on a little bit, and it has to do with understanding the transcendental nature of devotional service. The example I want to cite is of a news reporter who came here for the morning program and sat and chanted japa and attended the different activities and said that the sitting and chanting was very boring. And they didn't find some kind of ecstasy in it. And also there was a professor that was working with us from the Southern Methodist University who comments on different religious texts and also maintained an agnostic personally. He was an agnostic personally because he found that there wasn't anything special in these descriptions. So, and also we find many times when we discuss with children, devotees, children, they don't like to sit and chant, and particularly chanting japa, they find it very boring, unless it's conducted, you know, in some fun way with them. But generally, if they just ask to sit and chant, they'll comment that it's quite boring. So, my question is about the transcendental nature. You were saying that that an Atmarama, he is self-satisfied within himself. But the question that I'm bringing up in terms of these different examples implies that Krishna consciousness may be just another external thing. You see, like reading these fascinating stories or sitting and doing some kind of meditation with japa. It seems to be just another external thing for most people. Very few people are chanting and experiencing some kind of ecstatic, trance. So that really is the kind of the import of my question, is that what actually can we offer that shows that these activities are transcendental. Like you even, I have many people come to my book table and they question Krishna's pastimes. They don't even want to buy Krishna book for their children because they'll say, oh my God, I don't know how to explain Krishna out with women in the middle of the night. That's not transcendental. That's illicit sex. Or every time Krishna gets in a conflict, he's killing somebody, chopping off their head. That's just a violent, angry person. That's not transcendental. See, they'll raise these questions. So that's my question.
Yeah. So, first of all, this is the reason why in his oceanic wisdom, Srila Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book in that way, with a lot of philosophy. Because Srila Prabhupada was perfectly conscious of the fact that most of his readers are not Atmaramas, they are not transcendentalists, that we not understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities, Avajanantima Muda. They are fools, they are Muda, they don't understand. And so we had to talk philosophy, not pastimes. When we have, amongst devotees, we have been practicing, like all of us, we have been practicing Krishna consciousness 30, 40 years. We cannot say we are not this body, no? Because, you know, please, you know, say, otherwise we really get bored, say something different. But Sunday feast, or when we talk to people, we shouldn't talk about Trinavarta. We should talk about philosophy. We should explain scientifically the difference between spirit and matter. Why God must exist. I don't say must exist casually. God must exist because everything talks about a God. Everything we see, everything we experiment in this world tell us that there must be a person who did it. Just like every one of us must have had a father and mother. You may not know it. You may not know them, but you must have them. Why? Because there's common sense. There is nobody who came from nothing. Everybody had a mother and father. So even if we don't know them, everyone must have, you also must have a father and mother. So that's philosophy. We should talk to people about philosophy, not about pastimes. And about the devotees at the prime of their period of that's natural. We all remember like a young devotee falling asleep continuously while chanting our rounds. You remember? Now I don't see much anymore. The ISKCON bombs, you know, like whoa, boom, you know, all these brahmacharis falling down everywhere. We were young guys, you know, with full of halava and passion. Or how could we? I remember myself, you know, really it was really most physically dangerous, you know, all these heads precipitating. It was funny sight. So that's normal. That's normal. If we don't have the patience to tolerate the graduality of students, why you make a school? You know, if a student, being a student for 1 year or 2 years or 1 month, makes some mistake, what does it mean? That the school is bad? That the professor, they don't know what they say? Or you know, they're students. It's normal. So this is the process. You cannot pretend that someone finds they become Atmaramas overnight, or even after 1 year. You know, Lakshmi to be a gopi took millions of years. Took millions of years of austerity. You know, millions of years. You know, and even during the. I was reading the other day another wonderful verse, Samodama Tapas Cham, and it is this word, Tapa. Tapa is a wonderful word because what is Tapa? Tapa is the is the transcendental dollar, I sometimes call it. When you want to buy something, you must have dollars. You have the dollars, you go and you buy. So if you want something, How you get it? It's tapa. It's austerity. You do austerity, and then you get what you want. So it's not that you go in a place and you want to buy a car, you don't have any money, and you want and you become suspicious that the guy is cheating you because he wants money from you. Well, if you don't have money, you cannot buy a car. So if you don't have, if you are not made tapas, austerity, you cannot get the taste of chanting the holy name. If you really want Krishna, then you have to make tapa, you have to make austerity. You had to practice and practice and practice. And not 1 year. It may take tens of years. It may take the whole life. It may take tens of lives. And we don't become suspicious of Krishna. Oh, maybe Krishna consciousness does not work because I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 1 year and nothing happens. So first of all, it's not true that nothing happened. Absolutely. They cannot see it. But someone from outside see the change in the people. Just sometimes it's just intelligible. You cannot perceive it. You know, I remember when I became a devotee, my father and mother didn't see me for a few months because at that time it was a fashion to run away. It was the hippie time. So we were hippie. So if you would do something without running away from your home, it wasn't serious, you know. You had to run away and from your home. So I ran away from my home, and my parents didn't know where I was. And I didn't make much, way because the temple was 100 meters from my home, you know. I would like to run away and go to Paris or Amsterdam at that time. Anyway, so when they saw me after a few months of being a devotee, of course, the first reaction was, you can imagine, my mother crying, and my father, oh, I will break everything, I will beat up all the devotees like this. But then after a couple of days, they were coming and they see that I was normal. They saw me, you are different. It's not just because you shaved up, something in your eyes, something in your... something around you, it's like if you have a light. So they perceive something, and you can perceive something from anyone who comes to the temple, stays in the temple, especially those who come to live in the temple. It's very important that people be invited to live in a temple. We must have Brahmacharya ashram. It's very important for them. Anyway. So, what is this light? What is this difference? This difference is coming from purity. That you make, although not definitive, you make a decision of giving up your material activities, material pursuit, and then you chant, and then you take prasadam, and you become peaceful. Sama, dama, tapa, socham, no? Socham means clean, physically, mentally. We'll discuss this very important verse. Samo, damas, tapa, socham, kshantir, arjavam, and then you have jnanam, and then you have vijnanam, and then you have astikyam, and then you have, brahma karma. Svabhavajam, this is another very important verse that we have to analyze and discuss about. So all these qualities, they begin to come out, and they are perceivable. So unless the kids or people in general are not serious in practicing Krishna consciousness, then there is nothing we can tell them. There is nothing we can tell them because the professor coming here, when he went to school, it's not that after one day he said, well, where is my professorship? I'm not yet a professor. You had to study 15 years, 20 years to become a professor. So how can you pretend that chanting Hare Krishna a couple of times, you become an Atmarama, someone who has the taste for chanting or for Krishna. How can you pretend that? It takes time, takes practice. How many years, how many hours of tedious study and practices it took to become a professor just to get some money? You see? They make a lot of austerities just to have a salary. 15, 20 years. Some of them, they begin working for a very low salary just to survive. So many austerities just to survive. You know? And you become disappointed because you chant Hare Krishna a couple of days, a couple of years, whatever it may be, and you don't get the taste. Show your sincerity. Show that you really want Krishna, and Krishna will come to you. Don't be spoiled. No, to the children, no. Don't be spoiled. Just continue. And of course, you don't force children to do anything. You let them do, and you make them, if they are bored, chanting, and then you make them dance in kirtan, you know. And they have a lot of fun dancing in kirtan. Then, you know, let them dance in kirtan. Okay, if there is another question, we can discuss otherwise. Yeah. There is a lot of nectar in Krishna consciousness. A lot. A lot. And as we advance in spiritual life, we perceive it. We really can perceive this nectar. At the beginning, it's just, you know, just flashes. And you become attached. Oh, I'm being so happy. Today I chanted my round so well. It was so, was an emotional experience. And then I read a book, and this story about Krishna, it's unbelievable fascinating. And you get the taste. And then you go outside and you see, I mean, what is this? You know, this is living deads, you know. These people are not living. They are just flesh, walking flesh. And you cannot figure out how it is possible to live without Krishna, without Krishna consciousness. There is no 1 second of this life who makes sense. They're just agonizing. They're just waiting for death. That's not life. Life is not waiting for death. Life is life. When someone lives, and everything it does is destined to be destroyed, this is useless. Because it is already destroyed. Because it is unavoidable. It is not maybe. It is sure. Everything you do, we do in material life, it will have an end. The family, the money, the house, everything you do, it's destined to. It's just a scientific truth. It is not religion. It is not something that we believe. It is. So what is the point? What is the point of wasting the most important thing that we have, the time, the human form of life, for something that is already destroyed? So why? The most wise thing to do is to work for something who doesn't get destroyed, something eternal, that's Krishna consciousness. And that is tapa. And so we can only, we are just now beginning to fathom the enormous gift the Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, all the Acharya, and our great, great Srila Prabhupada gave us. Without them, we were living deads like everyone else. And now we have this incredible life full of demigods and gods and so many incarnations, you know, so many, all these incredible philosophy. You can spend the whole of your life without getting bored a single second, only by studying the philosophy, what to speak about everything else.